This is the As Far As I Know podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the As Far As I Know podcast, the show where we try to outthink our feelings and satisfaction is not guaranteed. My name is Andy, and joining me today are two people I would love to be locked in a house with and have every moment filmed. First, Mr. Fozzie Bear. Hello, Fozzie.
That sounds sexy. All right, let's make this happen, guys.
Why not? And joining us, probably not in that house, is Mr. Matt Rose. Hey, Matt.
That was weird. Oh, hi. I mean, hi.
So we're talking about being filmed in
a house.
You
love it.
Yeah, he does love it. We're talking about being filmed in a house today because this episode is about everybody's favorite version of television, reality television.
Is that true?
No, it's not. It's not true at all.
No.
But it is.
It's your aunt's cheap. Favorite form.
It's super cheap and really popular, so it's every television executive's favorite form of television.
That's a good point.
There are a billion reality television shows.
And because of that, we are not going to attempt to list them in this episode and pick a favorite. Instead, what we are going to do is unpack what makes a reality television show successful, and then we are going to use our big brains and the one inside Computron 2000 to craft the ultimate reality television show.
First,
in order to do this, first...
The format police have called, but they're okay with it.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
We got the exemption?
All right, good.
I talked them down.
Excellent. Okay. But before we get into that, though, we need to talk about our feelings. All right. So, as we discussed, briefly, gentlemen, I am not a huge reality TV guy, and that is not, like one of those nouveau, like humble brag things where I'm just,
oh, I don't even own a TV.
Exactly. Yeah. What, who's that? Who's Omarosa? I'm so confused. No,
right.
But I did watch the first season of Apprentice, as my Omarosa reference might reveal.
Slightly dated reference, but yes, that will count.
But besides that, I really can't think of a reality show that I watched with any sort of zeal. I've never watched an episode of Survivor. Like, I don't watch any of The Housewives or any of that stuff. So I'm just going to be asking a lot of questions.
Is that deliberate?
Not really. I mean, I don't find it terribly entertaining, but it's just not been a thing. I don't know. I mean, there was a time where we watched a fair amount of network television, and so I guess I'm a little surprised that we avoided.
Well, let me ask a question. Are we talking like game show style reality television? Or are we talking just...
That's an important thing. So there are two, as I see it, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but as I see it, there are two kind of big format groups for reality shows. One being the game show reality show, which is sort of at its purest at something like The Amazing Race. And then there is the
the Housewives
drama.
Exactly,
which is at its purest probably with The Housewives. And then you've got it's sort of a spectrum in between there where maybe a Big Brother or something sits sort of squarely in the middle. Does that seem right to you guys?
Yeah, that's perfectly fair.
That's fair. Although, I mean, Big Brother I still would consider a game show style, but yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, I think that's true, but I think shows like game show, Big Brother and The Bachelor and stuff like that, they rely on the personal dramas to make the game show part of it work, right?
Right.
So, Fozzie, I know you were a pretty big Big Brother fan. Does that continue?
Yeah. You know, this goes into another issue that we might talk about in an episode down the road, but as far as cutting the cord goes, I cut the cord a couple years ago, and I just went to every streaming service and got somebody's HBO Go password and, you know, got somebody's, cable login, and I was streaming everything. And that actually, for me, I don't know if anybody else feels this way, but it's really difficult to keep up on shows that aren't on Hulu. I know CBS isn't on Hulu, so I had to purposely go to the CBS website. I had to watch the episode the day after that it aired, because that's when they put it on, and I just lost track. So I didn't finish last season, and this season before, I think I didn't finish that one either. Right. I just got confused. I love Big Brother, but if it's not put right in front of me, it's something I can give or take or leave. You know, absolutely. I don't really.
But you it's like
not,
TiVo.
Yeah, it's not like a show before, that I sit down.
Right? It wasn't like about watching it live, or did you watch live and live tweet and all that kind of stuff?
No, I didn't watch live, but I would watch like the same day usually. Like maybe I'd watch a little later that night or early the next morning. But watching it a full day delayed, spoilers happen so easily today. And if you're on any form of social media, you know who got voted out the night before.
Yeah.
So it's not the same. It's just not the same. So that's why I didn't continue with Big Brother, but I did love it when I was watching it on cable. Yeah. I was obsessed with it. You know, our mutual friend Melissa, we shared that, and when we lived together, that was like. It was like our Super Bowl.
Yeah,
every week was we'd sit there with popcorn.
Yeah, my only exposure to Big Brother actually is when you were gracious enough to let me sleep on your couch for a little while when I was looking for an apartment in New York, and it was an event.
It was a big deal. I remember there was a night that I was out with Melissa, and I wasn't having a good time. We were out having drinks, and Big Brother was on, and I didn't really want to be there. And somebody threw a donut at me, and I got outraged, and I left. But most of that was I could have been better about it. But since Big Brother was on, I decided to make a stink just so I could go home and watch my stories.
That's awesome. That's so
did
good.
You text them later. Thanks for throwing that donut at me. I really wanted to go watch Big Brother.
Right? Yeah, you really saved me, bro. Thanks.
Well, similarly, both of you guys have been gracious enough to extend your hospitality to me for a length of time. And when I was at Matt's house, that was been my only exposure.
Are you homeless, Andy? Are you homeless?
From time to time.
That's true. I'm just putting this together.
Never had toys when I was a kid. Need to sleep on your couch.
Right.
You have a rough life. Oh, poor Andy.
I know, it's sad.
But my time when I was living at Matt's house was my only exposure to Teen Mom. So, Matt, tell us about Teen Mom.
Can't tell you anything about Teen Mom. Chelsea can.
Yeah, that was a favorite of Matt's wife. But...
Oh my God, I hate that show.
Yeah, but have either of you spent any time with the like purely personal drama type reality shows?
No, absolutely.
So my wife is huge into reality. I would say huge. I don't know, maybe not huge, but she's into reality shows. And like Teen Mom, she was huge into Teen Mom or Teen Mom 2, I think. I don't know. Oh, I can't keep them straight.
Well,
there's a lot
sure
of Teen Moms.
Apart, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a bunch of them. But I've watched them, but I think generally speaking, it was just something that we'd watch and share. She was into them, so it was fun to watch with her. Then I, you know, discuss, and then she'd yell at me because I talk during all of them because I think it's hilarious. And I talk about all the flaws and how stupid things are. Then she gets mad at me. That's kind of how our thing works. But... As far as, I will say this, though, as far as, like, game show style, the ones that I have been into in the past, I have realized is all about, like, I'm big into food porn or something, apparently, because, like all the ones I really liked were, like, Top Chef or, like, the next Food Network star or She Likes Hell's Kitchen, and I even put up with that because it has food. For whatever reason, I think, like, when it comes to skill with food, I'll actually watch it. I don't know why that is, but I just find it interesting. So Chopped, all those, I do appreciate the food aspect for some reason. That speaks to me.
Yeah, yeah. That goes more toward the game show side. And actually that brings up an interesting point that we can get to in a few minutes. But Fozzie, you said, hell yes, you've been into the purely personal drama. Are you a housewife?
Yeah, No, I want to be because I listen to a podcast about it. I've never watched the show, but I listen to a podcast about the Housewives, and they make it sound amazing. But if I happen upon an episode of something for some reason, if I'm at somebody's house and they watch it, like if I was at your house and your wife was watching Teen Mom 2, it would be my new favorite show, and I'd be obsessed, and I'd want to watch everything. Yeah. So if I'm forced to watch an episode, I'll fall in love with the show. That happened with Total Divas, which is the show about the women. Of the WWE, I fell in love with that show. Watched all of it on Hulu.
Yeah, you were at Emily's house for that one.
Yep, exactly. There was a you know me well. And another one, there was a show on MTV. What was it called? Banged Up? I always want to call it Banged Up, but I don't think that's the name. It was about the rednecks in West Virginia. It was like the Jersey Shore.
Yeah. Oh, I remember you watching this. What was that called?
I don't know, but like they would always do stupid shit, like jump off of a bridge or like four-wheeling. And like I was watching it kind of like the same way you watch the Real World Season 3, kind of waiting for Pedro to die. You didn't really want it to happen, you know?
Buckwild.
You didn't really want it to happen, but you're like, Buckwild. Yeah. But like you didn't really want Pedro to die, but you're like, oh, that would be such good TV. And that's why I watched that show. Buck Wild, and then one of the guys actually died, and I felt so bad. I felt I stopped watching that. Well, he stopped making it. I have watched a couple of those shows.
Did he die like doing something for the show, or wasn't all of it was for the show? I guess
they weren't filming it as far as I know, but he was like out in his car mudding. And they flipped the car, and it went over, and he asphyxiated. They were trapped in the car, and he asphyxiated and died from exhaust.
That
is terrible. Exactly. So I felt really bad about that, and I never went back to that show. But I also watched Washington Heights, which was a show set in my neighborhood, and my building was actually on it one time.
Oh, crazy.
So I felt kind of famous. The building that you stayed at, at my old apartment, building was on the show called Washington Heights on MTV. Because they went to the cafe that was right downstairs. So I'll get sucked into a show randomly, but I don't actively seek them out. I'm more about the game show shows
And that you brought up something that maybe we should talk about, which is kind of, to me, as far as I know, the beginning. Oh, I said the name of the show. The beginning of the...
you did. I just got that.
The beginning of the reality show sort of thing, which might be... Real World. Was there anything like Real World prior to Real World? Am I showing my age and Americanism there, or was that the first thing? That's the first thing I was exposed to.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, people always said that Real World was really innovative. There was a show in the 70s on PBS, which was a little bit like it, but it was a family. You know, they followed a family lived with this family for like 10 months, and one of the sons came out, and like the daughter was a slut, and like, you know, all this stuff happened that was maybe set up, but maybe wasn't. But before the Real World, it was a documentary in the 70s that had done something like that.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Matt, did you ever watch The Real World back in the day?
I think I watched a couple episodes of it. I vaguely remember it, but it was not really my jam, I guess. I don't know.
We watched it. We watched a lot. Me and my sisters, I feel like we watched a lot of The Real World. And now, to this day, when somebody says true story, I go, true story!
True story! Yep.
I think I was filled with hate for MTV by then.
Oh, yeah, probably. Well, that was the beginning of the end of MTV, too, really, where they just, that was the, we'll find out what happens when a music television stops showing music and starts showing Real World.
Getting real, yeah. Well done. I loved The Real World. There's certain moments, like when Steven threw that girl's teddy bear in the river and then smacked her in the face.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the best moments the television I've ever seen.
Yeah, that one girl put that one guy's shoes in the toilet.
Yeah, and then she accused him of rape when he drug her out of bed.
Yep.
Yeah,
she was saying,
and that other,
and that one guy slept with that one girl, but he really was with the other girl.
You mean Omarion?
I'm guessing that happened.
Meta now, yeah, you're just.
I'm guessing I
did. Plus, that did happen though.
Be careful, Matt. Be careful, Matt, because this is Puck on 5. You don't even want to see Puck on 10.
Don't get that, but it's amazing.
I do know who that is, so I must have seen some.
I mean, to me, I think, Matt, you know, you talked about it with the cooking stuff, but I think there is an element of, like, a lot of television now, especially that, like, very narrow genre television, that it's almost all reality. Like, if you watch... HGTV. Like, I spent a lot of time last summer watching HGTV because we were buying a house, and that's what you do when you're white and American, I guess, is suddenly you watch HGTV all the time.
That's true.
And all of those shows are like quasi-reality shows, right? Where it's, even if it's like there is a main sort of person or a couple or something that you follow, it's still like the premise of the show is you're watching them really
Well, and they always infuse it with drama. It follows the same formula. Right. Like in, halfway through the show, like, oh no, we something found out you have wrong. Old brass pipe fittings. Oh, it's going to cost us way more than the budget. Blah 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 blah.
Totally. Yeah, I watched one episode of Little People Big World last week because I'd never seen the show and I wanted to.
Yeah.
And same thing. Like it was the pumpkin festival, but then like midway through, turns out the pumpkin salsa is not moving. We got a big problem here, people.
Wait, what?
We got to move the pumpkin salsa. Get off your asses! If we don't move this pumpkin salsa, we're not going to be able to pay for the pumpkin festival. And so that was the whole thrust.
That cracks me up. That cracks
me up.
I mean, I have seen that show. I have to admit, I have seen that
Little
show.
Little People Big World.
No, Mr. Too Good for TV. You watch Little People Big World.
You know, what? And I just remembered a show that Chelsea got me into, and I almost don't want to even admit it, but I will. John and Kate Plus 8.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's complicated legacy behind that show.
Right?
Oh, yeah, man. That was. I remember I was deathly ill. And Chelsea would just like turn on the TV and like just to leave something on in the room, and it was that. And I started watching it, and I got into it, and I was like, I'm a bad person.
I mean, that begs the question, or brings up the question, why? What makes you a bad person for watching that? Like, I kind of agree, but why do we feel bad about watching these?
Because it's so – well, here's what makes me mad about it is, like, at first they were really novel. But then, like, you find out later that 99.9% of them are basically scripted behind the scenes. But yeah. You're trying to make yourself believe that they're not, and they pretend that they're not. And that just bugs me. Like, if I'm going to watch something scripted, why don't I just watch something scripted well instead of a fake not scripted show, if that makes sense.
But didn't you used to watch wrestling, or don't you still watch wrestling?
No, I don't.
You know, I had this exchange with someone at a camping event that I went to one time. A few years ago, I was talking about the show Catfish on MTV, which I love and I still love. So I guess that doesn't really fall in the contest. That's more just the human drama. But yeah. I love that show, and I was talking about it, and somebody was like, oh, dude, that show's so stupid. It's all scripted and fake. I'm like, you watch wrestling. Can you just shut up? Let me have my stupid, dumb thing, and you have your stupid, dumb thing.
Yeah,
Let me enjoy this.
I think it's the part that pretends to not be scripted. That's what bugs me.
But that's what makes wrestling a good comparison, right? Because there is this notion that it is quote-unquote real. I don't know. I feel like it's tough because I feel like in some cases it's so obviously sort of scripted and edited and all that kind of stuff that it makes me feel dumb. If I give in to the manipulation, right? Like Amazing Race is a good example. Like every time, like there are moments behind one another at the end of the day or whatever to race to this thing, and I'm like, that's just not true. Sometimes that guy's not even wearing the same clothes. Like that's days later, right? When they show up, but they edit it to make it look like, you know, you're gonna be right there.
That's incredibly prescient for someone who's never seen the show.
I have watched an episode of The Amazing Race.
Well, I mean, here's a perfect example of it, too, is like you watch any food game show, quote unquote, guarantee any time that they have a timed amount of time to make a meal, there's always somebody if they're going to make it on the plate in time. Every single time. There's
and
somebody
I've never seen one of those shows where they say, oh, sorry, you didn't get it plated in time, so you're out.
Yep.
Yeah.
I have a confession, though, before we get too much deeper in this. I do have a confession that in 2007 or 8, my friend Pete Knowlton and I actually submitted a tape for contention for The Amazing Race. And,
interesting.
Yeah, and we got...
What was your hook?
Yeah, what was your gimmick? Did you have a gimmick?
Yeah, the idea was Pete is... Visually, we look sort of similar, except for he's sort of a smaller version of me. But we both like bald with a beard and all that kind of stuff. And so we did this whole tape where we recorded a song, Pizza Musician. So it was all a music video. And the whole idea was that, you know, Pete's job was to bring me to the stunts and then I would do the stunts. Like, it was pretty funny. I don't know. We had a good time with it. We actually got called back to the thing, but the day you were supposed to report for the second wave of auditions was the day
9/11.
The day after Pete's wedding. So
Oh.
We decided maybe we couldn't do that, and we've always said we were going to submit again, but now I think we're old and tired.
But, right.
Oh, my God. This sounds like horrible. Like, having to travel like that would sound – it just sounds terrible to me now.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I would enjoy it until it came time to, like, eat, you know, like, blood and guts or whatever. That would be
pretty Yeah. You know, not to sound like a rabid feminist, however, I do think there is a lot of misogyny behind the disdain for these shows as well. Because the wrestling analogy that we used, it's been apt for years, and people have accepted that, like, guys like wrestling, it's stupid and it's fake, but we know it, and just let them like it. But God forbid you talk about the Housewives, and there's just such rabid hatred for these Housewives shows. We know it's stupid, and we know it's fake, but let people like it. There's always a lot of, and I know I'll probably get people disagreeing with this, but with women's things that are stupid, are under a lot more scrutiny than men's things that are stupid.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of disagree with that, though, a little
bit. No, of course, like, you do.
No, I'm saying, like, wrestling, I've always thought wrestling was stupid. For those same exact reasons. Like,
oh, maybe you're just a feminist, and you don't know
maybe.
It.
Maybe. I don't know. But I maybe you're right. I don't know. But, like, I'm just saying, like, wrestling, I've always thought was stupid for the same reasons.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of people that think wrestling is stupid. Obviously, there's a lot of people that don't, because it's still around.
Yeah.
But
right,
I think there's plenty of things that you can enjoy population. Just for the sake of enjoying it. Fozzie, I think you're right that the articles and the social commentary and stuff that tends to be phased, like what is wrong with our society, tends to be around Housewives and Top Model and stuff like that. Right, that's more geared toward a female audience. Which I think you're right. There's probably something to do with that. Whereas like. You know, everybody until they shocked the world and presented themselves as actual Southern people, everybody was over the moon about Duck Dynasty, right?
Right.
And as far as, like, television production, like, that was, we were in no better shape with that than we were with any of the other stuff, right?
Absolutely.
That's an interesting idea, too. Like, what happens when, you know, because reality TV stars are ostensibly quote-unquote real people, meaning they're not actors who are specifically trying to groom an image for the sake of getting public jobs, like, do you run this risk of somebody, you know, I mean, obviously somebody dying, like we talked about a minute ago, but more aptly, I think somebody just being, like, suddenly this is someone that your network does not want to be associated with, right? And like with the Duck Dynasty thing where it's like, oh geez, guy, could you continue to make funny phrases but shut up about gay people?
Right. Well, I mean, that they had a show because they had a business, right? They had a successful business already.
Yeah.
Sure, the show brought in a lot of revenue for them, but they're not hurting. They weren't struggling actors like everybody on Big Brother right now.
No, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
So there's always these people that come on these reality shows, like on The Bachelorette, on Big Brother, or whatever the show is, that want to. It says that they're a marketing consultant or whatever, you know, as their job, but they're all struggling actors. We know that.
Right.
But has that ever worked? Has anybody from a reality show ever gone on to be a real legitimate actor? I'm legitimately asking. I can't think of anybody.
I feel like...
I mean, Omarosa was, like, almost there. She almost had a career.
Well, are we talking, like, only reality, or are you talking about game show?
Well, I know Vanna White was on a game show once, but...
No, I'm saying, like, for example, like, the Food Network star thing is, like, specifically designed to do that. So there are, like, people that have TV shows and are, like, Guy Fieri or whatever his name is, is, like, a legitimate celebrity now. And he came from nowhere, won that show, and has now become a celebrity
Now he's
chef,
in a horrible restaurant in Times Square.
Yeah, right?
Probably. But, I mean, like,
he's living the dream.
So he is, like, he has done that exact thing, gone from a reality show to, I would say, being a celebrity, for example.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's that one. What about acting, though?
American Idol. Like, Jennifer Hudson came out of American Idol, right?
Ah, there you go.
She's
okay.
A legitimate star, right? Jennifer Hudson?
Yeah. Good call.
She's a good actress, and she's had music success and all that kind of stuff. American Idol's a little bit different because that is, ostensibly a talent show. There's no suggestion that they're on there for any other reason besides
right.
to be. But still, I feel like hers Like, that's a big success story, right?
Yeah, yeah, I saw her in the Color Purple a few weeks ago, and she was spectacular.
Yeah, she's legit. I mean, she's a very good actress.
Yeah. Okay. All right. There's that one. I'll give you that.
Yeah, but again, I don't know that it counts in sort of the vein that you're talking about, because what you're saying is like people who show up on Big Brother or The Bachelorette or something, which they show up and say, "Oh, I'm just looking for love" or whatever. But really, what they're there for is to get exposure to become, you know, to get work as an actor. And I don't know that I've seen.
I mean, it'll happen. To Elizabeth Hasselbeck, kind of. I mean, she's on The View now, and she started out on Survivor, right?
She did?
Yeah, I think she was a Survivor contestant.
Oh,
what? So, yeah. Weird, right?
I think you'd have to say that's one for sure.
Yeah, but exactly. Also, that one just came to me.
Was she Elizabeth Hasselbeck when she was on Survivor, or did she get married to Hasselbeck she's married to after?
No, I think she married up after that exposure.
After the show.
Actually, I know nothing about the woman. I shouldn't speak. I know that she's kind of an idiot. That's all I know about her.
Is Catherine McPhee somebody you guys know?
Oh, yeah.
She
was on American Idol.
Yeah,
she was on Smash, which I can't wait to come back on MTV? No, NBC.
NBC, yeah.
I'm still waiting for it.
This episode brought to you by Smash. This fall.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Although I don't know. Again, the American Idol, and then her biggest success has been a show about someone who was sneaky successful from a reality show or something, right? Like, isn't Smash like about the rise of?
You obviously didn't watch Smash.
No, I didn't watch Smash.
Oh my God, Andy, you need to get an education. Okay, we'll start now. Picture it: New York, Broadway. No, oh, all right. I'll tell you about it later. Fine. I can tell you're not into this.
Okay.
Sorry. It's a really good show, though. But no, you do have a point, because, like, again, that was a talent competition. She's not there just saying, like, I'm Catherine, and I'm here to win Big Brother and take home $1 million to my poor pappy so we can raise money on the farm, where she really when she really wants to just be a star. Yeah.
Right,
so.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think Elizabeth Hasselbeck might be the biggest winner of that.
Yeah, so
there is. I did find a website that like lists all of them, and there is quite a few.
Okay. Oh, are there?
Well, give us a couple more while we're at it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I might not know all of them, but like, okay, Josh Henderson.
Nope. I don't know what that is.
Nope.
Okay, let's move on. Julianne Hough.
Oh, Julianne Hough. What was she on? Huff,
yeah.
She was on Dancing with the Stars as a dancer, apparently.
Oh, well, all right.
That's where she got her start.
Okay.
Huh. Nene Leakes.
Nene Leakes.
The New Normal and Glee.
Yeah.
She started out on Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Oh. Okay, right.
Okay. Yeah, but I don't, I mean, I think that her appearances on Glee and what was the other? The New Normal?
New Normal.
Right, well, are basically her playing the character of herself from the reality show.
Well, yeah, there's some more. Like, Yaya DaCosta was in The Kids Are All Right. And she started out America's Top Model.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, so fair enough that you can maybe get some work. But to become a successful, like, these people, I mean, like, listen, they're doing great. They're doing better than I am, but like, they don't meet my standard for, like, successful, well-known star.
But with...
Well, they're on TV shows and stuff. Like, there's a bunch of these people that are on Glee that started out on... Well, this guy's from Australian Idol. Okay.
But again, I don't know that, like, being on Glee, like, are we talking about a main character on Glee? Are we talking about... I mean, I don't know. I don't watch Glee, so I don't
All right, so did anybody watch White Collar? Hillary Burton?
I know that that was a successful and... popular show.
She was on an MTV reality show.
Maybe we're not cut out to do this show since we don't know anything about television nor movies. Maybe we need to hand the reins over to somebody who knows things. But reality shows are as ostensibly the soap operas of today. We don't really have soap operas much anymore. They're getting canceled left and right.
Yeah.
People don't tune into those anymore.
Oh my God. Hold on. Just one second.
Okay.
Emma Stone is on this list.
What was she on?
She got her first appearance, like publicly celebrity, whatever it was, on a reality show called In Search of the Partridge Family.
What?
I don't think that's a real thing.
It is a real thing. I'm looking at a clip.
That is blowing my mind.
She's on a reality TV show called In Search of the Partridge Family.
That's really weird.
Apparently terrible. Emma Stone couldn't save it.
It was a 2004 right. VH1 show where they only produced a pilot for it, and the pilot was the only episode produced.
Oh, okay.
That is crazy.
So what I was saying is, since these are basically our soap operas of today, it wouldn't be that outlandish that big stars would come from these, because, like, when you look back at soap operas of the 70s, 80s, I mean, Alec Baldwin and Julianne Moore and all these people, you know, got their start. And that lady from Neighbors, Natalie Imbruglia, who's like the biggest star in the world right now, or possibly dead, I don't know.
Wait, was she? Is she? What?
Like, again, we don't know anything about pop culture. Is she still alive? I have
Natalie
no idea.
Natalie Imbruglia, Nothing's Fine, I'm Torn, Married to Lydia.
Yeah.
That's Natalie Imbruglia. I think she's right. Still alive, but are my only two choices alive or biggest star in the world right now?
Yeah, basically. If you're not the biggest star in the world, you're nobody in this business.
All right, fair enough.
But so that happened a lot back in the 70s, 80s, 90s. Like, people who were on soap operas actually went on to a successful career. So it's not outlandish that it could happen. I just don't see it happening that much, which is really strange. But I guess maybe that's just because of the volume of these shows.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. Well, I mean, I guess that that kind of takes us into, you know, what we'll need to discuss in terms of our nuts and bolts. Like, if we were going to build a show for right now, like, what do we need to look at in terms of how we evaluate the success of these shows? So let's take a short break, and then we will come back and get into some nuts and bolts. All right, so let's discuss some nuts and bolts, fellas. How are we going to measure the success of the reality show? I mean, besides whether or not it makes me want to commit suicide. No, I'm kidding. That's the last time I'm going to be elitist about it.
You're kind of, you know, mean about it, Andy.
I'm saying that's the last time.
He was mean about before. He's turned over a new leaf.
I just, you know what? Since I made that comment, I watched the entirety of Here Comes Honey Boo Boo, and I'm a different man.
It's funny how, like, that has become the gold standard for not the gold standard, but just the reference, the default reference for people when they're talking about weird reality.
Here Comes, you know, that's boo-boo?
that's what Jodie Foster referenced in her speech that one time.
It's
talking
just
about
a funny
why she
thing
doesn't
to say.
Is it just the name?
And it's terrible.
There's that. It's about a little obese kid, and it's a funny thing to say.
All right.
It's like if you're going to bring up a newscaster, you're going to say Wolf Blitzer, because that's funny as hell. Wolf Blitzer. That's not a real person's name.
That's a good point. I remember when the Desert Storm was happening, and that was the first time I saw his name. And I know that there's like a term of like a what is that? Something Blitz? Like a Blitzkrieg?
Oh, yeah.
And I was all confused. I thought it, because they were showing bombs and it said Blitz, and I'm like, what is a Wolf Blitz? I don't understand.
The Wolf Blitzer, you guys.
Yeah, the old Wolf Blitzer, right? The Ayatollah.
The Wolf Blitzkrieg.
The Wolf Blitzkrieg. All right. So anyway.
Dumb kid. So, anyway, reality
all
shows.
Right, let's talk about stuff. Like, how many awards has it gotten? Like, has it been, like, lauded by the judges of entertainment.
We can do that. Sure.
That's a good one. Because Survivor's nominated every year for Emmys, and the host is too.
There's a lot of Emmy award nominations, and I think there's a couple of other. Well, we'll get into it when we get to the data. But yeah, that's a good one. That's a good idea.
How about like longevity? How long it's been around? Speaking of Survivor,
yeah, good call. Season. We talked about like Real World being the sort of ushering it in, but you know, like,
it's still going strong. What are they on for Real World?
I don't know.
Actually, I don't know. Is it still on? Yeah,
we'll figure that one out. Longevity. Okay. Yeah, and in addition to longevity, obviously, we can look at ratings, although we've discovered in the past that historical ratings data is pretty hard to get to, but I'm sure we can find something that, you know, something that suffices for ratings.
We'll just make it up. And poll 10 people.
Yeah, we'll just
see what they watch.
Yeah, we'll call.
And that's all of their ratings.
Yeah, I'll go ask my wife. You ask your wife, Matt. Fozzie, you go out in the street.
Oh, I don't have a wife.
Guy that was yelling at you the last time we were recording.
Is that my wife? Is that the equivalent to my wife?
I was just
the homeless guy
that
sometimes
that
yells at me.
Somebody I knew would be around.
I think your dog is the equivalent of your wife in this.
That sounds about fair, Nags. What about, to make a successful reality show, you have to, part of the reason reality is so successful is because it's cheap to do, and the cheaper the show, successful.
Sure.
And yeah, that's why they just keep churning them out, because they're super cheap. So like the cost of production, if it's super low, it's going
to
be successful.
If we're going to pitch our perfect reality show, it needs to be fairly cheap to do. So like, which are the cheapest, right?
Right.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Well, yeah, they're all cheaper than scripted shows. So it's like the cheap of the cheap.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what if it's like, how do I put it? It's not really a spinoff, but like if it's inspired other.
That makes it sound fancy.
Yeah, I know. Like,
inspired by Toddlers and Tiaras by
Like if it's a one country and a bunch of other ones, maybe, or you know what I mean, like stuff like that, where it's like.
You mean how like they have like the show about the housewives, and one of them has a housekeeper, and then that housekeeper gets a show, and that housekeeper has like a neighbor, and then
or the
neighbor
or
gets
the bachelor.
A show.
Those are like entertainment empires, right? I mean, like there's a bunch of stuff that goes on from those shows.
Well, the ones that really figured out was like The Bachelor, because the person like that doesn't win that people like is the person
oh, that's
for the next
right.
one.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
They keep going
oh,
back
smart.
And forth.
That's smart, yeah. Yeah, okay. So our perfect reality show needs to have spinoff potential as well. I like it. Right. I like it. So we've got, let's see, we've got awards, we've got longevity, ratings, the cost of production, and spinoffs. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, that seems pretty robust.
All right.
To use a term I heard at work one day and don't know what it means.
Pretty good. That's pretty good. Let's put all these robust requirements into the Computron 2000. Computron is gave Computron
calculating.
Yeah. No, I gave
Computron trademark.
Got a little bit of an upgrade this time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We've got good data back.
We're
looking at some good stuff here. We've got. Let's start with cost of production. What do you say?
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. That's great. Oh, phenomenal.
There you go. So, can you guys guess the budget on an episode of Nash Bridges? Do you recall Nash Bridges, the television show?
Yes, I do. I don't know why you pick fucking Nash
Bridges.
Yeah,
that's weird.
Well, because I thought it was something that you would probably feel pretty mediocre about.
Right.
Don Johnson was still a person, so he probably made pretty good money, I would guess.
For those that are uninitiated, Nash Bridges was a police procedural starring Don Johnson and Cheech Marin that ran, I don't know, in the mid to late 90s, right?
Sure.
Yeah,
that sounds about
like
right.
Yeah, I just remember I feel like he had a cool car. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess. $1 million. That might be low. That's probably low.
A guess.
Per episode, I think was Nash Bridges syndicated or was that like on CBS? I always get those two confused.
it was on CBS, but I think it eventually got syndicated.
Sure, but yeah, it was produced by CBS. Yeah.
Okay. For salaries, I'll jump up just a little bit and say like $1.8 million per episode.
$2 million an episode for Nash.
Oh, closest without going over, bitches.
What? The same
best
is true
at looking
for
up
shows.
The answer.
Yeah, the same is true for shows like Friday Night Lights and Spartacus. Like $2 million an episode is a reasonable sort of mean style budget for a scripted television show. Any idea what the cost of an episode of, say, Real Housewives is?
I'm going to stick with $1 million.
Yeah.
One of these has to be right.
And Margaret.
I would say 50 grand per episode.
Oh my.
That's a little low. So it depends on whether or not the housewives are going on some sort of extravagant vacation.
Right.
But it runs between 100,000 and 500,000 per episode. Mm-hmm. So you can start to really see why reality shows are sort of much more sought after, or why they kind of blew up.
Absolutely.
As soon as there was some success. So the cheaper stuff, the stuff that ranges down to around 100 grand an episode, focus on single sets, right? Like Chopped or something like that, where everything's happening in one place. Yep. Or they're the lifestyle shows. So it's like Duck Dynasty or Honey Boo Boo or whatever, where you're just showing up and, you know, it's a film crew going to whatever they're doing. Those can get kind of expensive when inevitably, like, they go to New York or whatever. But in the, you know, for your normal run-of-the-mill, like, lifestyle, you know, show, those tend to be pretty cheap. So for our show, if we're going to keep the budget down, we want to either do a competition show that has a set, or we want to do a show that is focuses on a lifestyle but stays away from, like, travel and events, like housewives when, like, they go on vacation, and bridezillas when you have to pay for weddings, and all that shit is, like, that gets really expensive to produce.
Well, we were trying to do a competition reality show, right? So we should probably stick with that.
Well, it's interesting.
America's Next Top Hermit.
That's pretty good.
They never leave. Yeah. Oh, I think I nailed this already.
That's pretty
America's
good.
Next Unabomber. No way.
So, God!
No, I don't think that's what we want to do at all. Oh, man. It's a manifestival.
I can hear that. I can hear the wheels turning. You working on that one?
I had manifesto. I was like, there's a joke. I got to get this.
I got to get it. Oh, you've nailed it, though. Well done.
Okay, so, we'll get to whether we're going to do a competition or not. I think you're probably right, Matt, but I think we should let's comb through the rest of this stuff and figure it out first. But what do you think? Longevity next?
Sure.
Okay, so first of all, this is the first time where we really start stretching the boundaries of the definition of a reality show. So, like, in some sources, a reality show can be like an award show. Like, basically anything that's not scripted shows up as reality show. So I tried to
First of all, award shows are very scripted.
Well, they can be, yeah, for sure. But I thought I would try to pare it down to, like, you know, kind of the two things that we think of, which are, like, you know, either the competition show or, like, this the kind of lifestyle unstructured thing, right? So I have here the longest running reality shows in the United States, the top five, and I'll give them to you in reverse order. Okay, American Idol started in 2002, so that's 15 seasons,
anymore.
but it's gone. Yep, Amazing Race 2001. Big Brother 2000, The Real World in 1992, which was, that's 24 years, but because it's MTV and, you know, they will definitely beat a horse, they did a couple of seasons, like more than one season in a calendar year, so there's actually been 30 seasons of the show, even, you know, in the last 24 years.
So it is still on, like, current right now.
It is, yep.
Is there a season? Well,
yep, they're about to start their 31st season of The Real World. But the longest running reality show in 1989,
mm-hmm.
Cops.
Ooh. Oh, right.
Cops launched in 1989.
Forgot about that.
Now, it does not have as many seasons as The Real World. So it only has 28 seasons. So there is a challenge for, you know, longevity there. However, The Real World has about 590 episodes, depending on how you count, like, recap and reunion shows and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. Cops and its 28 seasons has 950-plus episodes.
Damn. Wow.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people trying to get on that show every day.
So,
I don't know if they're trying to get on it.
I think my neighbor that yells at me is trying to.
Yeah, right.
It's the only explanation.
Did you guys know that a cameraman got shot filming Cops at a hold up in a Wendy's in, I think it was, Kansas City?
Oh God, that's awful.
Yeah,
and I think I did know that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But I mean, when you do 900 and something episodes, that's bound to happen.
Right, but that's
once.
The only time. It's only happened once. But yeah. There's been plenty of times when the crew has actually helped the police, like, save somebody or, like, catch somebody. But only one time that the crew was, like, injured. And obviously, severely, he was
yeah. Can you imagine the liability form you must have to sign to film that show?
Seriously, yeah, that's crazy. However, so, Real World and Cops notwithstanding, the other top three are competition shows, right? Big Brother, Amazing mm-hmm. Race, and American Idol. And those are much, you know, those launched since the year 2000. So you could argue that sort of in the modern realm, the stuff that has hung around the longest has been those types of shows. So that's another sort of argument toward the idea that maybe we should look at a competition show, right?
Okay.
Now, competition shows are going to take a hit, though, when we start talking about spinoffs, okay?
Yeah.
If you go to Wikipedia and you look for pages in the reality show spinoff category, there are mm-hmm. 98.
Damn, 98 pages or 98 shows?
98 shows that are...
Wow.
That are,
well, each have a page.
Yeah,
wow.
They have a page for that are spinoffs of other reality shows, okay? So some of these are fairly obvious, right? So there's a lot of geographic variants, right? So you get...
Oh, like Real Housewives of blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, Million Dollar Listing Miami. There was Say Yes to the Dress Atlanta, which I was like, why does... Was the original Say Yes to a Dress, like, set in just one town?
It was.
That seems weird.
I had to see it.
Well, that seems weird. Like, was that...
It was one shop. That's why.
Oh, it was just one shop.
Yeah, okay. So they had recurring characters where the people at work at the shop.
All right.
More sense. Okay, that makes sense.
Now I wish I had watched that.
Yeah. I'm sad I know that much about it. But.
And then there were a couple of shows which at least... to my knowledge, or sort of at my gut check, were more popular than their original. So you guys can tell me if you think this is true. But The Hills, which is kind of a stretches the boundaries of reality show, but it is technically like real people, right?
Right.
That's a spinoff of a show called Laguna Beach, which I didn't even know existed.
I think I did because of The Soup.
Oh, yeah.
I learned most of my information from The Soup.
The Soup.
Yeah.
Is that still Henson hosted?
No, I think it's... I don't even think it's on anymore either. Oh, we're not having cable. I'm not sure. Yeah.
R.I.P. The Soup. Greg Kinnear, we hardly knew you.
I know. Yeah.
The other one, Extreme Makeover Home Edition, that seems like it was more popular to me than the original Extreme Makeover, but I could be wrong there.
Well, and wasn't that kind of a spin... Well, I don't know if it was a spinoff, but... of Trading Spaces, because like Ty the maybe that's not really a spinoff, but it's just Ty the Carpenter was really popular on Trading Spaces, and they poached him and they brought him to this other show.
Oh, so I guess it's like it's kind of
a spinoff.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Who I met one time in a Barnes & Noble downtown, and I made him sign an autograph for me, and I made him sign it to Fozzie, the best lover I've ever had, love Ty, and he totally did.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome.
That's really good. And then I put Here Comes Honey Boo Boo on there as well, which was a spinoff of Toddlers and Tiaras, which I don't I don't know. I know that was a popular one, but I feel like the Honey Boo Boo thing, like Fozzie, to your point, has become like the reality show of reference. So,
right.
I think you could argue that it's more popular.
Yeah, no, I would go with that. I would agree.
We have a lot to say about this.
Isn't Toddlers and Tiaras still on and Honey Boo Boo's canceled, though?
I don't know. It's possible.
You're right, because didn't that one woman... I don't know if this is awful, but didn't a woman like just get arrested and lose her kid for injecting her with Botox Toddlers and Tiaras? Yeah.
Why? What?
I guess the girl...
That's my reaction to all of that show. I don't know why I'm pretending like this is worse than most of the stuff I see on that show. Of course somebody did that.
Right, not the raging pedophiles on every episode don't bother you, but with Botox, come on.
Exactly. But then, like most of the other shows, both of you guys made this point, but to most of the other spinoffs were based on a character from the original show, like going off and doing their own thing, right? So it's like, like all of the stupid Jersey Shoreites had their own shows.
They did?
Yeah.
I only know Snooki and JWoww.
It was like a what's a Poly guy? Something.
Poly D.
There was a Poly D project. There was a show called That Show with Vinny.
Oh, I didn't know Vinny got his own show. Yep. Why didn't I watch that show?
It was Snooki and JWoww. Right, that lasted a while, I think.
Yeah, I loved Snooki. A friend of mine was on Snooki and JWoww.
What?
Yes, I say a friend. It's somebody I casually know from a bar, but now that he's been on TV, he's actually a friend of mine. He was their gay best friend. He looks like this big football player. He's real big and beefy, but the way JWoww described him, she said, but when he opened his mouth, the purse falls out.
That's a pretty good line.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I love Snooki and JWoww.
Yeah, that's a pretty good line.
I loved that show, and I unabashedly.
What's his name?
I don't even remember. We'll say Carl.
No, it needs to be better than Carl, because he might be our spinoff show. Put some thought into this.
Oh, no, he never actually got it. I'll look it up. I'll see if I can figure it out, but I don't think he ever got a show.
I know, but I'm saying that could be
we're
going to
give him a
that's
show?
What I'm saying.
I'm on this, guys. We're working on casting. You continue. I'll figure this out.
We don't actually need to use this poor person's name on this. So if you have a star, or even better, if you have a sort of secondary star, you can totally get a spinoff. So we can consider that, when we do our show. I mean, I think we've landed on something pretty strong here, but we'll see. We'll go from there. So that leaves us awards, right? So
how many did Snooki and JWoww win? That's all I'm interested in.
Zero.
Damn it.
Yeah. So, the Emmys showing a pretty interesting foresight in my mind. I mean, well, I don't know. We'll talk about it. But they created an Emmy for the best reality show in 2001, which seems like that was pretty early in the, like, reality craze game. I don't know. It seemed like it to me.
That was about time. That was about the... I mean, like, at that point, 2001 was... Survivor just hit, like, 97, 98? Or no, maybe 99.
Yeah.
It had been a couple years. And I think Survivor is really the one that solidified, like, holy shit, people are paying attention.
Well, Big Brother was actually out in prime 2000, time. And then you've got Amazing Race launched in 2001. So, like, that was a big time for them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right.
In 2003, they created a separate category for reality competition shows, okay? And then in 2014, they split the best reality show category into structured, which are shows like Shark Tank and Mythbusters, right? And unstructured, which are Deadliest Catch and something I wrote down that I can't recognize.
I like that kind of show. That's good.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. Really have no clue what I wrote there. That's interesting.
You were just so excited.
I really was. Among the best reality shows, not competition show, but the best reality show, can you guess what the most decorated reality show is?
I'd say Amazing Race.
That's a competition show.
Yeah, oh, of reality shows. Oh, sorry. Gosh.
Cops is not. I don't think Cops is the one.
He's going for the Cops.
How about Queer Eye for the Straight Guy?
It is the Deadliest Catch.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's the most decorated. It had one win before the split between structured and unstructured. And since, it has won the two unstructured Emmys. So it has three best reality show Emmys to be the most decorated. Which, you know, is actually three out of, 15 is pretty good, right?
it's not bad at all.
Antiques Roadshow is the Sujin Lucci of reality shows. It has eight non-split nominations, meaning there were only 2 years in the history of this award that it wasn't nominated. And it's had two nominations since the split and never won.
Oh, God, yeah. Those poor antiquing bastards.
I will admit, Deadliest Catch, I watched the crap out of Deadliest Catch back in the day.
So, oh, yes. Like, is it still on?
I think so. It's not like the hype it is now. Yeah.
I just heard about that. My boyfriend was so super into that show, told me the entire thing, how the guy tried to get his sons to come back, and they finally did, but then he got really sick, and he died, and his sons had to take over, but they didn't really know how to do it very well, and they had to rise to the challenge.
Wow.
I heard this whole story.
It's like scripted stuff. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's riveting hearing somebody describe it.
reality competition shows, though, Fozzie. Amazing Race wins every year.
Yep.
It's had 10 wins. The only times that it hasn't won were in 2013 and 2015, the most recent award, The Voice won, and Top Chef won in 2010.
I have never watched The Voice, and I know a lot of people into it. Do you guys watch that show?
I have never watched
it. Nope.
It seems like the premise of that show is like, oh, wow, ugly people can sing. I'll be damned. Yeah. Like that whole show is based on that.
You just described it.
Yeah, it seems like that whole show is based on like that Susan What's-Her-Head that sang really that yep. opera song really well.
I agree. No, I think that, I mean, I think that's part of it. I think it's like, you know, a reaction to American Idol and like how much of a pop star you have to be. And the idea was, let's strip this thing down to just a single, you know what I mean? I mean, it's still not true.
Yeah.
Like you still have all the, you know, you still have people on there that are beautiful people, but they also can sing well. There was a guy on there from Minnesota, from the Twin Cities, that went like really far a few years ago, and it was pretty big news around here, right, Matt? Am I crazy?
You're asking the wrong person. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I think it was a.
He doesn't know the show. He doesn't know local history either.
So
asking the complete wrong person.
I'm not into the singing reality shows. Yeah. So.
The Always a Bridesmaid in the competition category is Project Runway. 11 nominations without a win. But, and this is an important thing for Project Runway. Project Runway won a fucking Peabody Award in 2007.
What?
Yes, a Peabody Award. Normally,
see, there's some context there.
I forgot that show existed, and I also forgot I watched a lot of seasons of that show with my wife, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of forgot about Project Runway 2 when we were talking about it, but, like, that's a really good show, and when I heard about the Peabody Award, I was like, you know what, I think maybe this is the show that, like, I'll just be honest, like, when I'm starting to think about what our show should be, like, basically, I'm like, what Project Runway ripoff can we do? Because this is like this show, like Project Runway is credited in a lot of ways. I can't say Project Runway. Project Runway is credited in a lot of ways of like elevating the medium, right? Like there are plenty of critics and a lot of like legitimate television producers and stuff that really like this show, and it gets a lot of lauding for its for the work that it does. Is that, I mean, why did we forget about it?
Well, I mean, like, Tim Gunn has become a celebrity just off of that show.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys know who that is, but, I mean, when you hear Make It at Work, that's, like, from a show, a reality show. That's pretty crazy.
That was one of the first shows beside American Idol that really required talent for you to be on the show. They actually had to be talented to do something.
Yeah.
They weren't just some yahoos who live in a house or something.
Let me read to you like the thing that the Peabody Awards wrote when they announced that they were giving an award. I won't read you the whole description, but it says, the payoff is that viewers are able to see what has been created. In an excellent use of a visual medium, viewers watch as the designs are rendered, material is purchased, cloth is cut, sewn, fitted, and displayed. In the end, it's the work that counts. These people have made things, real things. So for using the television reality contest genre to engage, inform, enlighten, and entertain, Project Runway receives a Peabody Award. Like, to me, that's a really interesting idea that, like, you're right, that it takes real skill to do it, right?
Yeah, but it also, that description sounds really lame. It sounds like somebody was super high when they wrote that. These people have made things, real things.
Well, I think that when you think of it in the context of other reality shows, that's a pretty important distinction, right?
I'm a deeply feeling person who feels things deeply.
I'm just touched, damn it.
Good for them. good for Project Runway. I actually, you know what killed it? I used to watch a lot of that show too. And you know what killed it for me? A friend of mine was, I have a lot of friends, you guys. A friend of mine actually worked on the show. He was like a PA, I think, and he got to do some behind the scenes stuff. Turns out,
he watched
the
John
mood.
Goodman try to get into a geo, and it was all over.
Yeah, exactly. See, when I know these things, it ruins it. But the mood that they went to, which is the fabric store that they go to,
yeah.
The one in New York was real, but then they said there was an L.A. version when they moved the show to L.A. That wasn't a store. It's a set. They tried to make you think that it was actually a store. It was a set. And also he was telling me about the actual sheer torture that these people go through during evaluation when they're standing up there and, you know, they're like, this looks like a backwoods Alabama Appalachian Barbie doll going to prom. You know, when they cut them down and they're trying to be all –
There's one guy.
That was kind of what I thought they got credit for because, like, a lot of times judges kind of – I don't know. A lot of them are like the nice judge. But they actually gave, like, real criticism.
Yeah, there was that aspect, but also when they're standing there for that.
I don't know, dog. I'm just not feeling it.
This dress is a little pitchy. That's how I feel. They stand there for hours. Like, it looks like, you know, it's like, you know, 20, 30 minutes. But they're standing in one spot for, like, 4 or 5 hours. And people have passed out. People have gotten sick. They have to stand there the entire time. And it's just like
the look of utter discomfort on their faces.
Right, and that's the thing with reality shows. I mean, you always see these behind the scenes or like what you don't know about reality shows. A lot of these shows rely on some kind of weird torture for the people to get these emotions that they need, like either sleep deprivation or on Big Brother, I know that they deprive them of food. They can only eat slop, which is basically like oatmeal for a week at a time.
What? Right.
No, that's part of the game, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But it's a form of torture to try to get these people to an emotional state, to get something out of them that's good for television.
Well, yeah, but I think that is. I mean, in Big Brother, you're absolutely right. I think in a lot of cases, you know, there is real manipulation going on so that we can also make good TV. But in the case of Big Brother, like that's more or less the point of the show, right? Let's put these, let's create situations to create emotional outbursts or or whatever, right?
Like, that entire show is based is based on, like, what is it, Sartre that said hell is other people?
Right,
that's entirely what that show is about. Just get a bunch of disparate people together and let them drive each other crazy. Right. But then they add these additional pressure factors of depriving them of food, sometimes depriving them of sleep. If they lose a competition, they have to sleep on these beds that are like at like a 45-degree angle, or they can only
talking about that this
Big Brother. This is a real thing. The American version, not the Japanese version. I know it sounds like that's what I'm saying, but no, this is in America.
And then they have carry a squid between their legs,
right?
I thought you were trying to tell me that Project Runway they make the sleep on a 45-degree.
Things move pretty fast around here, Matt. You got to listen every second because we change tone.
Well, that reminds me,
what was the reality show that they put you through torture? You're in separate rooms and you couldn't see each other, and you did whatever they asked.
George Orwell's 1984. That was a novel.
No, it was actually a cool show. They like would say like do pull-ups or something or whatever, and you did pull-up. But whoever gave up first. Lost that round, but you couldn't see your competition.
Was that unanimous on CBS?
I have no idea what we're talking about right now.
And when it was spelled, it looked like – when I first saw the ad, I thought the show was called Uni One Mouse. And I was like, what the hell is this show? I thought it was like some kind of Mexican mouse. And I'm like, oh, like Speedy? I didn't know what was happening. But because they had a one in the middle of the name, but it was unanimous. But
I don't know what's happening now. What are we talking about?
I think there was like one competition. They were in separate rooms, and in one of the ones that I watched, I only watched like one or two episodes, they put like thousands of ping pong balls into the room, and the people had to try to pick them up and like put them back through the slot, but it was taking so long, and they couldn't see if the other person was doing it as well. Does that mean anything to you? Ping pong balls through a slot? I know, and I'm not talking about Japan again, just to clarify. I know.
No, I stopped listening a long time ago. None of this has made sense for like 10 minutes to me. I have no
idea. All right, guys, let's move on. I'm sorry. I was trying to show you my world-famous ping-pong ball trick, but you weren't even paying attention. Forget it, guys.
The unanimous was that nine strangers are locked in a bunker and told that they can't leave until they unanimously choose one, choose to award one of them the grand prize money.
Okay, now what was UD One Mouse?
That's the same show?
Oh, okay, then, yeah, I didn't watch that. I don't know what show you were talking about, Matt.
I don't think that's what Matt was talking about.
I have to find out, but I actually enjoyed it. It was actually pretty good, like, because just the psychological, like, thing of not seeing your competition was interesting to see.
Yeah, that does sound interesting, because, like, you could keep going for a day if you had the tenacity to do it.
Right, right. Well,
when the other person
even, like,
already died of a stroke.
Tell you? Oh, that's the other thing. They wouldn't tell you if you had won or not.
Right.
So like, you just, how long can you sit in this bathtub full of ice water? Well, I had been there for 16 hours. The last guy was already out at 8 hours, but you've been in there for an extra.
Oh, yeah, that sounds interesting. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, I think, though, just, like, for the – I mean, I feel like we could probably at least presume or at least pretend that we're going to treat people ethically on our reality show. Like you, there's actually this other sort of this kind of new wave of it, or I don't know if it's new, but this other – element of reality shows that we haven't really talked about a lot, but that I think is an interesting development, which is now there's like this feel-good thing to it, right? Like, there always sort of has been with Extreme Home Makeover and all that stuff, but Matt, what was that show that I was watching briefly at your house where, like, you ended up building the house for the people that...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What's that called?
Home Free.
Home Free, yeah. So, like, you're doing it, you're in a competition to build a house, but then it turns out you get the house, like, when you lose or something?
Yeah, well, it was actually a cool twist, is that they had all these families that were trying to build a house that they were from poverty, or they had something horrible happen in life, whatever, and they were trying to win the game. The whole premise was that if you won the game show, you got a free house. What they didn't tell the people was that, so when you got eliminated, you actually got the house that you were working on as a couple. So, like, no matter what happened throughout the whole game show, you would always win.
So everyone
but nobody knew that you
won. You get a house.
Yeah, but nobody knew.
It seems like that show couldn't go on very long, though.
Well, that's what I said, but there's some, like, twist on it. Well, it's funny. Is Tim Tebow's on it next season?
Oh, shut up.
Oh, boy.
I have no idea why. Oh, no, I'm dead serious. They, like, put Tim Tebow on it for some reason.
Oh, God.
So,
right. I'm not
going
to talk about it. He's there to take the house away from anybody who's ever had an abortion.
Ugh, jeez. Anybody, but he's just such a wholesome young man, Fozzie.
Mm, right, what a great Christian.
I mean, he's a white frat boy asshole who just happens to play football well, but he's such a wholesome young man.
Although, he was on Lip Sync Battle, and he was pretty good. Like, good performance on Lip Sync Battle goes a long way with me.
I don't buy it.
All right.
He was reverse Milli Vanilli-ing you. He was actually
sick. We have upgraded to a new level, I think.
Okay, so we need to come up with our show. So far what we have is we're leaning toward a competition show. We're going to try not to torture people, and no Tim Tebow, but that's not enough to pitch. So let's figure out what we're going to do. I sort of like the idea of these shows that require real skill, right? Like,
yeah, absolutely. I'm 100% on board with that.
Yeah, like the face-off makeup show and stuff like that.
Maybe I'm jumping ahead.
No, go ahead. Shoot. What you got?
So I have two here. So the one that is really meta, but you could have a reality show to get on a reality show.
Whoa.
Oh, you just blew my mind.
What would the competition be?
Yeah, what would this entail?
Well, you could have, like, every week be something that happens all the time on shows that you have to just compete at it. And it's based on, like, the judges on how likable you were and how much people wanted to watch you. And you can even take, like...
Like, yanking out a bitch's weave? Would you have to, like, do that?
Yeah, we would have to call this show Not Here to Make Friends.
Oh, my God! Did we just do this?
That's a pretty good idea, actually. All right. I like it. But let's put that one on the burner. And Matt, what else you got?
I was trying to look. I was just thinking about this. Like, I was trying to think of something that was you need to be skilled at. Mm-hmm. That would be interesting, possibly to watch. That you don't need like a huge degree or anything for. And what I came up with, and I don't think there is a show like this exactly, but like mechanics, like auto mechanics.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, maybe they each get a car or whatever, and they have to get it running within a whoever can get it running in a certain amount of time frame. Or something.
Oh, like an old clunker?
I think there was a show like that. Like,
there was a Junkyard Battle show. I know, but
yeah. Let's spin off of this, because that was sort of my idea was like a maker show, right? Like you take teams that and you give them challenges like out of a junkyard kind of a thing, or you know, it's like a Iron Chef, right? Where you have like a certain like pantry of stuff that you can use to make it, and you give them different challenges, and they have to like do it yourself this stuff together. And what I thought would be cool is that if you judged it on more than just like if it works, like if you also judged it on like resourcefulness or like the way the thing looked, then when you made your team, you'd have to decide like, do we want like all engineers on this team, or do we want like an artist on this team so we can get points for like how good it looks. But that's sort of a
really
similar
smart
idea to the mechanic thing, man. I think we could just open it up to more stuff than just cars, you know?
Yeah, that would be good. I'm just trying to think, is that kind of like the Junkyard Battle then, or is just that it would be opened up more for art and stuff?
Well, I was kind of trying to think of how you would make it more like, more like a mainstream show. And my thought was, like, if you gave them challenges, like, we could do the feel-good thing where it was like, this, you know, inner city neighborhood in Philadelphia needs a energy sufficient or like a self-sustaining park. Right. So it's like, there's no budget for this really. Like the city can't afford to build anything. So it's like, we're going to build this thing. And then we'll judge based on like who puts the coolest thing in the park or whatever. But then like at the end, like we cut the ribbon on this park and kids can play in this park and shit. Right. Like, I mean, I think like there could be cool stuff in that. Like, you know what I mean? You could do all sorts of different challenges that way.
You know, on that same vein, one of my ideas was, do you guys watch Shark Tank? Or you're familiar with it, right?
Yeah, I know what it is, sure.
I like the idea of a show like that, but for like social entrepreneurship or nonprofits, have a panel of judges, and then have somebody come in and say, like, I have an idea for an NGO which will bring water to this damaged area of et cetera, et cetera. Or I would like to reform the education system of America within the next 5 years by blah, 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 blah. And so that you have the panel of judges who are willing to give them a stipend to start a nonprofit.
Yeah.
So hold it, though. How would they ever say no to someone?
Well, there's a lot of factors going into this. Somebody can have a lot of passion and a great idea, but then like, how are you going to execute it? And they would be just like on Shark Tank. They would say, because every time I watch Shark Tank, when somebody comes out and they're like, "This is my idea," I'm like, "Holy shit, that's the greatest idea I've ever seen!" And then they start to interrogate them. I'm like, "Oh yeah, you're right. How will you bring it to market within so and so time?"
But the difference is though, is they don't make any qualms about just they're there to make money. Whereas you're an asshole if you have a bunch of money and people come in and say, "I want to feed the homeless in Portland," and they say, "Fuck you, get off the show." They
might, I don't think necessarily.
Like,
if there's, I mean,
I'm not sure
I
that'll be
your
catchphrase either. Fuck you, get off the show.
Right? Sashay away and fuck yourself.
More like NG go.
Nice. Well done. But I don't think so. If there's a, you know, if every episode you can only accept one, or if there's a limited amount of money, you have to do the person who has, you would be investing in more so the person than the actual product that they're trying to sell. So if this person is a leader, do you think this person can actually launch this and make it happen? And I have to admit, I'm completely stealing this. My job does exactly this.
Say,
we don't
this
have
pretty familiar.
we don't have a reality show, but this is what my job does. And every time we go through this process of like picking our new class of fellows for a year, that's where a fellowship program. Every time we go through this process, I'm like, God, this is a reality show. This is it's totally
you
like
know,
a reality show.
There probably is a market right now for like an anti-Trump apprentice, right? Where you basically do the apprentice, but it's somebody like Bill Gates or Warren Buffett or somebody who is the Trump-esque character, and that's the
goal.
They
eventually run for president too then?
Well, I mean, how much worse could it be, right?
Good point.
Don't ask that question.
I didn't
I
say
would
like
Simon Cowell right now.
I said But, you know, like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation gives away a ton of money. Or, like, Zuckerberg just created that foundation where he's trying to give away, like, 80%+ of his wealth or something, right? Like, so you could, like, get some of those guys together and then, yeah, like, how do, like, The Apprentice, where it's like you're working really hard for that kind of stuff, you know? And, like, there are shows where it's, like, it's celebrity shows or whatever, and they're working for charity donations, you know?
Mm-hmm. Because, like, you were talking about the feel-good tactic of reality shows, like Undercover Boss, where he always goes in and he realizes that his staff is poor. Like, it takes – he hasn't realized for 20 years that he's paying them a nickel an hour.
Out when you pay people nothing, they can't live very well. Yeah,
exactly. So that's really big right now. So you'd have that aspect, but you'd also have the talent. You need the people who have the talent to be able to pull this off. Like, they have the resources. They have the intelligence. Like, the people that work in my organization, they're people who have invented things. Like, we're supposed to judge and evaluate these people who come to us and they want to get this stipend and this fellowship. And half the time, I don't understand it. I have no idea what they're talking about. They're like, one guy developed this, like, suitcase type thing that can convert CO2 back into usable oxygen. I'm like, how the fuck do you do that? But I just have to take his word for it.
Bond shit.
Exactly. I think he might be a supervillain. Oh shit, I think we might have just funded a supervillain. That's just a cover. It's actually a bomb. That's a doomsday device.
It actually goes backwards. He actually is gonna turn all the world's oxygen into CO2.
Oh, no!
And then he's gonna sell the oxygen. That's the only way you can get oxygen from him.
Was it it's named after a strangely sinister acronym? Was it called like?
It was called Doom. What do you think of that?
D-O-O-M. Yeah. Oh, just put that together. Right.
I don't remember what it sounds stands for, but he just called it, this is my Doom device. And I was like, well, here's your money. Good luck. I like your eye patch. He was like, why, thank you.
Is that your cat? Oh, yes. Excuse me.
He tipped his bowler cap before he left the room. awesome metal hand, sir.
Oh, you beat me.
I love you.
I don't know. I feel like we could probably make a great deal of money with I'm Not Here to Make Friends and then cleanse our palates by making this one. What's this one called?
Good. That's a good question. I haven't come up with that yet. Help. I don't know. We'd have to brainstorm. We need to get the people.
If we're going for sort of the anti-apprentice feel.
The philanthropist.
Yeah. Oh, wait, but that's like somebody who gives money to somebody. We're not looking to... Totally what we're doing.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Took me a second to wrap my mind around that word, but yes. Yeah. Done and done.
Well, yeah.
Starring Honey Boo Boo. She's our host.
Special guest judge, Honey Boo Boo. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like we've got a pretty good set here, right? Like, if we're going...
They're
going
to run back-to-back on Bravo.
Yeah, right? I mean, you can really do that. You can be like, here is a little bit of a base example, and then here is us trying to do good all at the same time.
Right.
What partnership... We need a partnership, though, because we can't promise somebody a space on a reality show for winning our reality show and then not give them a reality show.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's your spinoff of whatever reality show they get to... They win.
It's just their reality show. It's just called It's My Show.
Yeah. Like you. Like.
Or just do their first name.
No, listen though. Like, here's what you do. You have a competition, right? Whoever wins gets their own reality show, say, for one season or a 10-episode run, whatever, right? Yep. And then it's about how fame has changed them and what things they go through now that people all know who they are and stuff.
Too good at
and
this.
Then, and they can just be back to back.
Anybody know what Omarosa's doing?
isn't she honestly working for Trump? Isn't she like in politics now?
No, really?
Probably.
I don't know. I saw a picture of him, and I saw a woman standing near him that kind of looked like her, and so I just jumped to that wild supposition.
Oh, this says she's a regular political commentator on CNN. About what?
Yeah, but Joan Rivers maybe still beating that dead horse.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's not that Joan Rivers had a horse face, even though she did. Apologies to Joan Rivers, everybody. Speaking of reality shows.
I think Omarosa could be our host, though. That would be great for I'm Not Here to Make Friends.
Yeah.
Or Richard Hatch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that is good.
That's true. Was he a jerk on that show? All I know is that he got skinny.
Oh yeah,
he was like the first villain of reality TV show.
Yeah, really? He insisted on walking around naked to intimidate people, and they kept asking him to put on clothes. He's like, nah, it's hot, and he just like would walk by him with his balls dangling just to make him uncomfortable. And I remember Susan at the finale, she called him, like, she did that great metaphor of, like, the hawk and the snake, or, like, which you trust, the rat or the snake. And so she called him both. She said he was, like, the most vile human being she had ever met.
Whoa.
Yeah. So he made a lot of enemies. He did not make friends.
Can I give you a random Omarosa fact right now?
Yeah. Please.
She was dating Michael Clark Duncan.
When he died.
Oh, I did know that.
Yeah.
And he had his heart attack, yeah. She was there and tried to save him because she's trained, like, to be in CPR and stuff and whatever.
Oh, I didn't know she was, like, in the room when he died.
Yeah.
Oh, like, I had no idea.
That's crazy.
That's my craziness story.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing us down. I'm going to bring us back up.
With the philanthropist.
Well, if you specifically won, Matt, if you won your reality show, or Vandy, you won it, what would be your catchphrase if you had your own reality show? Ooh. Do you have a catch, something that you always say?
Oh, man.
I think mine would simply be like, what the fadoodly? Like, I say that a lot.
Are you Ned Flanders?
I say it in my head a lot.
What the fadoodly?
Well, I think fadoodly goes would be bazillion tea, but no, bazillion tea? Is that what you say? I think that's what.
What do I say? A bajillion tea?
Yeah, that's what I say. Is, yeah, but there's like a lot of things.
Yeah,
you always
a bazillion tea, I think, is it. Yeah.
Andy, you know Matt pretty well. What would his be?
I don't know. I like the idea of Matt being. Matt, I love you to death. You know I love you to death. But Matt is extraordinarily great passive manipulator. Like Matt, Matt usually gets his way and is like really nice about it, where he's just like, oh, I don't know. I didn't want you to like, I wanted to make sure you were thinking about this other option that I really want. And so I like the idea of Matt being like the evil Minnesotan on this reality show, where like everybody leaves and they're like, oh, I'm just going to miss that Matt guy. And then it's like the confessional and he's like, yep. That's what I wanted.
call it passive aggressive.
Yeah, exactly.
That's amazing. All right, I would.
Phrase would be. I just think it would be. I think it would be. It would be a lot of fun to watch him on a show like that.
Oh, I would watch all these shows, you guys. These sound awesome.
I would too. So, as far as I know, I think the next big hit reality show would be some version of either The Philanthropist or I'm Not Here to Make Friends.
Done.
Coming it that way.
Coming this fall.
Yeah, just say it that way. All right.
Coming this fall on Bravo.
I feel good about this. If you have an idea for a reality show that you think would beat either one of those, good luck. Why don't you send us a tweet at As Far As I Twote, or you could send me a tweet at Ironically Andy,
or you can send me a tweet at Fozzie Bear Bare.
Or even me a tweet at Matt AFAIK.
You know, if you want to. I'm just trying to make sure you have all the Twitter information. You do what
like,
you want.
You know, you guys can do what you want, but I mean, like.
I see it now, Andy.
Getting all the tweets out there to all the people. And you don't want anybody to feel left out, so, you know, just make sure.
Oh, you're good.
You can also email you the bitch. Show. At Matt's a passive bitch at as far as I know. And thanks to all the free sound users who contributed music to the show. And if you have a moment, please rate and review us wherever you found us. That would be great. You'd be a wonderful person, and we would all vote for you to stay on the island. All right, thanks, guys.
Sashay away.
I don't know.
Yes, fadoodly, or whatever.
Oh, fadoodle of doodly.